Reformed Church.
And it's interesting that when you think about the things that are done towards you, or the things that people feel towards you negatively, it is an interesting thing that he says that it would be for his name's sake. And when you think about the anything that people would ever take offense to, anything that we teach here, is normally for his name's sake, right? It's something that we are saying that we know that is Christ's, that we would attribute also to ourselves, because he says that we have the same inheritance, right? So anytime you see something in Jesus and then you attribute it to yourself, like eternal life, like he doesn't die, dominion, death has no dominion over him, so why would I have to think that death has dominion over me? That he is above principalities and power, that he set above the powers of this world, so why wouldn't I believe also that I am above the powers of this world, right? That's the inheritance that Christ has, sitting at the right hand of the Father, where we're seated with him also. So why shouldn't I also attribute those things to myself, if that's how I get to know who I am, is by beholding his glory? When I behold his glory, you see things about Jesus and what he has and how he works and what is his, and then you learn real quick. You begin to see things that you attribute then to yourself. And then, you know, I started to think about something that I had shared probably in passing a couple times, mentioned it here and there, but that the one thing that, you know, when you see, when anything would happen, you know, during a service where something different or out of the ordinary would occur, you know, your eye can go sometimes quickly to what happened or how that occurred or what way it was done. But right, we should never be looking at how something looks to try to understand it by the way that you perceive it with your eyes. But what you're actually doing is you're just really listening, right? You're listening to the Lord like we would do in any case for any other thing, right? We're always, the answer to what we're supposed to do in any circumstance is listen to the Lord, right? Because that's how you can see and perceive things appropriately, right? So when you see things that are different, that we've actually had people leave this church because, oh, that was a little different, I've never seen that, or that was a little different, I've never heard that. The answer to something that you have never heard, or the answer to something that you have never seen, is the result of that, the gospel, is the result of that, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you're hearing, some prophecy, or you're hearing some teaching, or you're seeing something that does not end in the testifying of Jesus Christ, then we should question that, right? If you see somebody do something just for the sake of performing something that looks powerful, but you don't see anywhere that the end of that is to point you to Jesus, we should question that, right? Because otherwise, how would we as Christians be able to tell the difference between a work of power that's of God and a work of power that's not of God? In other words, there is a spirit of error and there is a spirit of truth. And the spirit of error is obviously that which does not testify of Jesus, and the spirit of truth is that which testifies of Jesus, right? So when, you know, something that I've said repeatedly is that I don't care what it is that I'm looking at. I don't care if somebody's spinning on their head, breakdancing on a stage, but if at the end of what they're doing, the end of what they're expressing is Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, if what is being manifest or shown outwardly leads you through a sequence of events that you're looking at, leads you to see, oh, this was pointing to Jesus and here's why, right? I don't care what the action was. I just know that what I'm being testified to, right, or what God is testifying to me, is about his son, which is what the Spirit of God does, right? The Spirit of God always testifies about Jesus, right? That's just what he does. In John chapter 15, if we could just real quick, John chapter 15 and verse number 26, this is what Jesus was saying would happen, or how the Holy Spirit would behave as far as his teaching. He says that when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, right? So, and he's called the Spirit of Truth for a reason. He's not called the Spirit of Truth because there's no way to identify him. You identify him by the truth, and the truth is the gospel. So if he's speaking the gospel, then he must be speaking truth. If he's speaking by any other spirit, that's pretty easy. The end of what is being said is not the gospel, right? So I would always question that. I would always question something that you're hearing that does not testify about Jesus. I wouldn't just take it for face value. I would question that, right? Because he says, he said, even the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. I mean, what is it that the Spirit of God teaches? What is it that the Spirit of God teaches us? He testifies about the Son, right? He testifies about Jesus. So it's actually in that same chapter, in chapter 15. I was reading to you from verse 26, right? 15:26, is that what I said? Yeah, 15:26. But starting up above in verse number 18, that's actually where he starts talking about the fact that the world will hate you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. And he just goes on to talk about how the church would be persecuted for his name's sake. He says, actually, if you jump down to verse 21, 15:21, he says, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Right? So if you think about this, what we listen for when you hear something being expressed is you're listening for the gospel, right? And that gospel or that testimony is the very thing that the church is persecuted for. And unfortunately, sometimes when the church itself, and I'm not necessarily pointing fingers at anyone, I'm just saying, as a matter of fact, what happens is when the church is used to hearing things that are not according to Christ and accepts them the way it's said many times, accepts it as gospel. But in this case, I'm saying accepts what's being said as actual the gospel being preached. But in reality, when you look at it, the end of what's being said is not, in other words, if we're trying to teach some kind of moral standard by which to live by, that's not the gospel, and that's not testifying about what Jesus did. But when the church is used to hearing that, when you tell them that they no longer, that God doesn't demand for them to require of them to live by some kind of moral standard, right, then they're offended. But if the church would really, if not the church, anyone, right, would look to see what is it that offends you about what is being said. If what offends you is the testimony about Jesus, we ought to be careful with that, right? In other words, any Christian that is offended by something that is stemming from the testimony of Jesus Christ should be careful about turning away from something like that, right? Because the very thing that should not ever turn away a Christian from what is being spoken is if what is being spoken testifies about Jesus. But when you, now I wouldn't be, you know, no one should be quick, like I said, to accept something, Christian or not, that should be able to receive something as supposedly it being the gospel that does not what? That does not testify about Jesus Christ, right? Let me show you this real quick. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 18, he talks a little bit there about the fact that the spirit of Antichrist has come. And the spirit of Antichrist doesn't mean that whoever speaks something that is Antichrist is of the devil. That just means that there is a doctrine that is not according to Christ, and that is not from God, that is from the devil, right? But so there are people, which I have done that myself in the past, right, where you say something, right, that is not according to Christ. It's just some kind of worldly doctrine that you heard from some other person, and then you end up repeating it and teaching it to the church, but it's actually not something that is according to Jesus, right? So when you teach something that is not according to Christ, when you teach something that's not according to the gospel, it is antichrist, right? It's not, you're teaching the church to live by some rule or some standard that is not faith in Jesus Christ, right? So he talks about that a little bit there, and he says in verse number 19, it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. So there are many times where people love God, but are led astray, right, or are led according to incorrect teaching that would lead them to actually leave a church that is preaching nothing but what? Nothing but that which should be the discerning factor of a listener, right? Which should be, is this according to Christ or is it not? Is it I mean, that honestly is what straightened out a bunch of things for me, right? Because it's something difficult for me to swallow. Is it difficult to understand? Is it difficult to accept? The easy thing is it according to Christ or is it not, right? I don't care, you know, somebody can tell you right now, you know, and tell you that it is within our inheritance to be able to walk off the stage and walk on the air. And some people may take offense with that and say, well, that's not according, you know, what are you telling us that for? You know, what good is that? And take offense to that. But that actually is according to Christ, right? Christ has the power as part of his inheritance to be able to walk off a stage and walk on the air. Not just walk on the water like he did in his earthly ministry, right? But walk on the air. And I don't think that was ever recorded that he did that while he was on the earth. But you could do that. You could walk off the stage and walk on the air. And if you were to see that and you see somebody walk on the air, you would say, okay, well, is this of God or is it not? But the end thereof is, are they just walking on the air for you to applaud them and then everybody goes home and everybody's happy? Oh, we saw a work of power. That must be of God. Or did somebody walk off of a stage and then the end of what was being said and the end of what was being demonstrated for you was to bring you to the understanding of what you have in Christ, which he has and you have as well. Then you see those things that are according to Christ and the things that are not. What he's talking about here, he says those people that continued with us, there are times when people do not continue with you anymore because they feel that you know you have just taken things to an extreme, right? Because of the things that are being heard are not common to the church. But again, the what people should be listening for is not, is this jive with what I've heard before? Does this sound common to me? Does this sound familiar? Right, that should never be the line that we draw as to what is of the spirit of truth and what is of the spirit of error. The only thing we should ever use to be able to know those things is it according to Christ or is it not? Let me show you something in the same book, but just a little bit further. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1, it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. In other words, when someone speaks, they are always speaking, right? They're always speaking by the spirit of something, right? They're always speaking by either the spirit of error or the spirit of truth. When someone is said to be preaching the gospel, preaching something that is according to God, it's either going to be by the spirit of God or it's not. So it is either going to be the spirit of error, right? Which there are many preachers that love God, right? That say things that are in error, right? That are not according to God, right? It's not that they're of the devil, it's that what you're saying right there is not according to Christ. So you may say, well, how do you know the difference? How do you test the spirit? Because that's what he's saying to do. Test the spirits, it says, or try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. It says, hereby we know, in verse 2, hereby know ye, it says, the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. In other words, greater is the spirit that is in you than the spirit of Antichrist that's in the world. Greater is he that is in you that's able to teach you and show you what is the spirit of truth and what is error than anything that is of the world. So we're not led, in other words, by what we see. We are discerning by the spirit of God on the inside of us, right? And he says in verse number 6, we are of God. He that knows God hears us. And he that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So here's the thing. We know that one of the things that have been, like, for whatever reason, it should never be, but could be controversial to some people, is when we talk about obedience, the obedience of faith, right? So when we talk about the obedience of faith, we're talking about that which is our command, that which God says, this is what I require of you, that you listen, that you have faith, right? So faith is our obedience. So when we talk about faith being our obedience, you know, it's obviously, and there is a whole obedience of faith teaching out there on our website that you can look up, but it's on Reform U. But when someone were to say, I love God, well, if you love God, you should be able to easily hear faith in Jesus, right? If you love God, you should be very, very, it should be easy for you to swallow faith in Jesus Christ. That should not be difficult. That should be easy, because that is actually how you're told to live, by faith. You're taught to live that way, not by your church. Jesus said, live by faith, right? God is the one that's saying, live by faith. So that should be an easy pill for all of the church to swallow, is anything that is according to faith in Jesus, right? That should be an acceptable thing. But for some reason, when you tell people that their obedience is faith in Jesus and not their works, they're offended. So they're offended at what? Are they offended at the spirit of truth, or are they offended at the spirit of error? What's offending them actually is truth. The spirit of God testifies about Jesus Christ, right? If our obedience was actually our works, the spirit of God in me should actually be testifying to me about the importance of me doing good works. That should be his concentration in my life. If that is my obedience to him, then God in me should be teaching me every moment of every single day how I can do good works. But the reality is, he's not doing that, right? What he's doing to me is testifying what I just read to you before, testifying to me about Jesus, testifying to me about what is Christ, right? Testifying to me about what Jesus has done. So when you see, he says, we are of God. He that knows God hears us. How can he say that he that knows God hears you? Right? Because if to know God is the next verse, right? Beloved, verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. So in other words, if you say you know God, that means you love him, right? If you say you know him, that means you love him. And if you love God, that means you have faith in God, right? You follow, right? If we say that we love God, that means we know him. And if we know God, right? If we know God and that means that we love him, then that means that we have faith in him. Because to love God, right, is to believe him. To love God is to believe him. And that's why he says, in 1 John here, he says, to believe the Lord your God and to love your neighbor, right? He uses loving God and having faith in God, right? Believing in him in the same way. So if a Christian says, I love God, which I believe that every Christian loves God, then where we should be always, as Christians, always be extremely careful is that if you reject the doctrine that is according to faith in Jesus because it doesn't sound familiar to you with what you've heard in your church, that's problematic, right? That's problematic for us as believers because that means that we are adopting doctrine to live by, doctrine to meditate on, right? That has nothing to do with Jesus Christ and him crucified, but that has to do with my works. That should be a red flag. Immediately should go up. Bells should be going on in our head that we are hearing a doctrine and a teaching telling us to live a certain way that has nothing to do with what Jesus Christ has done for us. That is not according to the command of God, right? We're being taught something to do. We're being taught to do something that is not according to our obedience. So you're actually teaching me to be disobedient. And I know that doesn't land right, but that's the truth, right? If you're teaching me to be disobedient, you're teaching me according to a spirit of error that is not according to the spirit of truth that should testify to me about Jesus. So we should as believers always be cognizant of discernment. 1 John chapter 4 is an awesome way for us to be able to have a few clues and ways to see how can I discern that which is error and that which is truth. Does it testify about Jesus or does it not? Does it testify about what I have in Jesus or does it not? Does it testify about what I have in Christ or does it not? About what Jesus has done for me or does it not? And if it doesn't, we should be always very, very cautious and take it with a grain of salt because it could be that the person speaking spoke truth, but maybe they didn't complete the whole thought. And maybe you actually do have something and they're not telling you that is according to Christ and they left that out. So I don't say reject every single thing that doesn't say the name of Jesus. What I'm saying is be very, very careful. Be very careful to accept a teaching that does not end or a prophecy that does not end, that does not exalt Jesus and what he's done.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this unpopular message to the world. If you'd like to support Reformed Church, you can do so at reforminus.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reforminus.com.